Good morning, happiest Monday. Hope everyone is doing well. Shavua Tov. Today's Shi'ur is dedicated to Nishmat Malkaba Jalinus, Chana Bat Shemuel, Shlomo Ben Eliyahu, Zerubbabel Ben Gabriel, Tzivya Bat Mashiach, Tamar Bat Mashiach, Yosef Ben Nisan, and Liora Bat Yitzchak, Ruach Hashem Tinicham Began Eden. And we are towards the end of Galut. Hopefully, in reality, we're towards the end of Galut also. And
yes.
And hopefully,
yes,
we should
yes,
see
don't get too comfortable.
Fun.
Yeah, the suitcases
and
are ready.
We just
ready.
Finished
I'm already
off
just moved. I can move again.
In the last paragraph, and this is also what he's going to finish off with today with Galut, is stressing this point of don't get too comfortable in Galut, and don't think to yourself that you're at home. Don't feel too at home in Galut, because once a Jew starts to feel too at home in Galut,
problem starts,
and Hashem will start reminding us that
hey,
you're really guest, and this is not really your place. And the most recent point that he had made that we finished off with, that this was 200 years ago, this is way before the Holocaust, but he had already pointed out, he said to the Jews, he says, even if you acquire wealth, and you have the means and the assets to live a comfortable life, don't show it too much. He says the goyim, the non-Jews around, get jealous very, very quickly. They have their eyes on us, and they imagine a lot. They're imagining, and if you show one, they think you have 10. This is the way they are, and once they start to see it,
they get jealous.
And they start doing things against the Jewish people. And he said, we have seen this time and time and time again throughout our history. And in every Jewish country, this was a cause of anti-Semitism. It was a cause of anti-Semitism. So he said, you want to spend? He said, spend, but inside your home, without anybody seeing. When you build your home, see, he says, build your home like a sukkah.
build in your home. Kingsburg, they're not like that, Rabbi. It's a lot of rules, regulations.
But in a general sense, he says, try to do your best that on the outside, show always that you're living an average life. Don't wear the brand name clothes outside. Don't dress your children in the brand name clothes.
Getting slapped all over.
Don't throw parties that are extravagant and that will make them look and say, oh, look at the Jews. All of that in the long run causes anti-Semitism. This is Pele Yoetz's point 200 years ago. 200 years ago he made this point. Very powerful.
You forgot the name.
Oh, no, I said...
You did it?
Yeah.
Does that have a reference to like Jews don't get too comfortable in Galut, because you might change your way because you want to appease where you're living?
Yes.
Does that have the reference to that also?
Yes, also. Absolutely, he brought that up. But over here, he's making the
point
the
just talking
about realize you're in Galut, and the Jews throughout history, and this even started from the first original exile in Beit Rishon. The Jews went to Babel, or exiled to Babel. They didn't even want to go back to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash when it was already happening.
Very sad.
Because we're too comfortable.
They were sending the children there to study.
Well, he's teaching us by not flaunting to the goyim what we have. He's kind of teaching us how to survive in Galut.
Yes, essentially, 100%. And he's saying Ayin Hara and warning for Ayin Hara is about this. Is like, and it's not just about Jews looking at you and what you have. It's the goyim, particularly when you're a guest in their country. So he said, even if he went through different countries, he said, you have the Muslim countries where
but in
the end of the day, they were harsh in their laws, and they came down. And then you had the European countries, which were free countries,
too much freedom.
And his point was, he said, even in the countries that are seemingly free countries, and you think it's a free country, they will find a way to remind you that you're a guest.
3 months ago, what was it? 6 months ago, we saw it with our own eyes. We couldn't believe it.
All the
our children couldn't believe it.
Let's finish off. So he says, "V'ra'uilanu." He says, therefore, and he said, and Yaakov told his children, "He finished off. Namatitra'u. Don't show yourselves." When he sent them down to Egypt,
yes,
he
from
sent
different
them
entries.
From different entries, so that they don't look like one big group. "V'ra'uilanu lakofer roshenu ke'agmon." It's worthy for us to bend our heads down like a reed that bends. וקבל הגלות באהבה ולהיות נחילים על שבי יוסף. We have to accept the fact that we are in exile, and we have to be ill, so to speak, sick over the fact that the Jewish people are broken and divided all over the world, and not in our homeland. שאפילו אם נחת שולחננו מלא דשן, even if it happens to be that my table is full of delicacies, אוי להם לבנים שעל שולחן אביהם, ואיך נשיר על אדמת נחר. There's woe to the children who are exiled from the table of their father. And how can we sing the songs of God while we're on a foreign land? While we're in a foreign land, which is the... This is from Tehillim. It's a famous line from Tehillim. On the Harod Bavel, when the Jews were exiled from Israel the first time, And it says in Tehillim, it says, they came and told them, "Oh, shiru lanu mishir tzion. Sing us some of the beautiful songs of Yerushalayim, the famous beautiful songs of the Beit HaMikdash." And the Jews responded to them, "Ech nashir et shir Adonai al adman nechar? How are we going to sing the sings of God while we're on a foreign land and while we're in the state?" So Uchtiv, and it says in Hosea, "Al tismach Yisrael el gil ka'amim." It says, "Don't be too joyous, the Jewish people." Amar Rabotenu Zal, "She'asur la'adam she'imale sechok piv ba'olam hazeh she'nemar az imale sechok pinu moshanen orin." A person cannot completely rejoice, cannot be whole and complete in galut, his happiness, as long as he's in galut, right? And that's why every time we do a wedding.
Yes, we break the glass.
What do we do? We break the glass at the end of the wedding. In order to remember Yerushalayim and to say that our joy is not complete. We're extremely happy. Baruch Hashem, we have a wedding and there's a new couple, but it's not 100%. Yeah. Until we are in Yerushalayim, until we have Israel and we're in Yerushalayim, it's not, and we have a Beit HaMikdash, the happiness is not 100% complete, because it says in Tehillim, "Azim ales chokminu." Only then, in that time, whenever we have a Beit HaMikdash, when Mashiach comes and all of the Jewish people are together in Israel,
tomorrow,
then our joy will be whole. Then our joy will be complete.
Tomorrow.
Only then the Goyim will come to praise the Jews.
Yes, they will come
and the
say,
Jews
wow.
will say, "Wow, God did great for them." Aval ata, but now we're not there yet. We're not there at that state. Ra'ui sheniyeh devuyim v'nishper lev v'nitka'im. He says, there's a part of us that we have to be broken-hearted. Bezochrenu etzion, by remembering Israel. And in his time, Israel, you know, it was desolate.
Yes.
There was nothing going on in Israel. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have a little bit more joy over the fact
that
Baruch Hashem, totally Baruch Hashem, we're a lot to look forward to. We're a step there, and you can see it happening in the future.
Wow.
Although there's a lot of challenges ahead, and there are still political divisions, and there are still different factions, but we have our own state. That was something that we never had in history.
At this time, it was in Israel.
English.
No. Before English. The British. No, under the Turkish, I think. It was under the Turkish in his time.
Hamil Madanik.
And you always have to mention Yerushalayim above all of our joy. At every joyous occasion, we mention Yerushalayim. And he says, maybe through that, God will be gracious to us. And then we should have the zechut that Hashem will rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Let's move on to an introduction to Gilgul. Okay, this is going to be very, very fun and very interesting. Okay. So Gilgul means reincarnation. It's the concept that every soul has a mission to complete in this world, if the soul does not complete that mission,
it has to come back.
Yeah, it has to come back. And Hashem has to reincarnate it and bring it back into this world in a different form. Sometimes it's in another person, and that person has something to fix or something to do. Sometimes it could be an animal or a plant or a stone or a rock. It could be anything. Now, Pele Yoetz was a Mekubal. Pele Yoetz was a Kabbalist, and the Mekubalim believe the Gilgul is a foundation. It's
yes.
a foundation.
Yes.
And there are many beautiful things also we could learn from the idea of Gilgul. However, a point to stress, just from the outset, not Pele Yoetz. We're learning Pele Yoetz.
Yes.
From the outset, is Gilgul is not a necessary belief of the Jewish people. What do I mean by that? So, is Gilgul mentioned anywhere in the Gemara? Not mentioned. Is it mentioned anywhere in the Tanakh? Not directly mentioned anywhere in Tanakh. Possible hints to it in certain places. Is it mentioned anywhere in the Gemara? No, not at all. Is the Rav Saadia Gaon in the times of the Geonim? Is the you're talking Rav Saadia Gaon is in the 800s CE. We're talking.
You just mentioned him in the
Talmud. you just spoke about Rav Saadia Gaon. Rav Saadia was the greatest rabbi of the generation. He wrote that the belief in a Gilgul is Shigaon. He's like he said it's crazy people believe in it. that there's a concept called Gilgul.
Did I hear correctly? You said that if your job is not complete,
you have to come back.
You come back. Yes. But you also mentioned.
So I'm saying this. So I said this belief. No. So the intro here is this is the belief. Now I'm taking a step back and I'm saying, is this a necessary Jewish belief?
No.
Is this something that is an absolutely necessary Jewish belief? So the answer is not necessarily. Many believed very strongly in it, particularly the Jewish mystics and the Mekubalim believed very, very heavily into it. But not everybody necessarily, and it doesn't make a person a heretic if he doesn't believe it. So the Ram...
You can not believe it, it's no problem.
Right. A person can still be Jewish and can still be faithful to God and not believe that Gilgul exists. Pele Yoetz believes very strongly in this, in the fact that it is real. And Pele Yoetz, amongst many great rabbis, many great rabbanim believed in it.
The concept I understand, but did you say that you can be reincarnated as an animal?
According to this belief, yes.
But I think
yesterday,
animals don't have a soul.
Yes.
They have a lower level of the soul.
I mean, what is your mission?
Yes, it's not. Yes, it's not the same that humans have, but it's a.
Get slapped.
it's a lower level. The Rambam Maimonides, who was maybe the greatest rabbi of the past 1,000 years, didn't mention a word about Gilgul. He didn't say anything for or against. He didn't say yes, and he didn't say no. But it says something, the fact that he didn't mention it, that. You know, when he said in his book, all you need is Tanakh and my book and you have everything you know, and furthermore, more importantly, is Rambam listed the 13 beliefs that every Jew has to have.
Yes.
There are 13 beliefs that every Jew has to have. Some people read them at the end of the tefillah every single day. A Jew has to believe that there is a God.
Yes.
You have to believe that there's only one God. You have to believe that God doesn't have any image. And we have to believe that Hashem came before any other and we have to believe that God gave us the Torah and we have to be faithful to the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Hashem's number one prophet. Over all the other prophets. There's a list of 13 beliefs. Do any of them say you have to believe in reincarnation?
No.
None of them say that a person... There are 13 beliefs that a person is required to have. You know, and if a person doesn't believe in one of those 13 things, potentially you could say, you know, they're out of the fold, or they're out of the faith, or they're belief. But Gilgul is not one of them. Gilgul is not one of them. So some believed very, very strongly, almost even to the point that they believed it was necessary. The truth is, when you take a step back and you look historically, you know, Ashrecha, praiseworthy are you if you believe in it. You don't necessarily have to believe in it. You know, there are great rabbis like Rav Saadia Gaon who did not necessarily believe in it.
Shouldn't walk around trying to determine who's a good
believer. Yeah.
Kabbalists, that's it.
Yeah.
Even they,
one of the first and one of the earliest to make a reference, of course, the Zohar speaks a lot about it, and the Arizal and Shara Kavanot, and he's going to list some of the specifics along the lines of this belief, the Pele Yoetz. The Ramban, also most famously, not Rambam with a mem, Ramban. Ramban with a nun. Ramban also he would not speak directly about it now, but he hinted
a little bit.
Very, very strongly to it in his Perush and his commentary on Iyov, in one of the questions, we're going to see one of the purposes of Gilgul, or one of the things that Gilgul does for us, is it's one of the explanations for Tzadik Veralo. Why do you see good people that seem to receive harsh punishment? Why do you see that children who seem to be innocent sometimes suffer and sometimes go through difficulty? So one of the answers, and I think one of the only answers, this is a very difficult question, to this question, is the idea of Gilgul. Is the idea that that maybe there was a past lifetime, that there was a mission or something that they had to complete, and that's why it's happening. So one of the purposes of the idea of Gilgul is to help try to answer the question of why do you sometimes see righteous people who are suffering. Anyway, so we are learning Peleolets, and let's see what he has to say, because there are still some very nice lessons. There are some nice lessons that we can learn from Gilgul. So Emunata Gilgul, he te'orer et ha'adam ha'rotze li'ten lev li'ira et Hashem yirat ha'onesh. It's something which awakens a person who wants to truly pay attention, to fear God, and to fear the consequences of his actions. Ki yiten el libo, because a person will take to heart, ki rabim machovim la'rasha. He says the evil, the wicked person, is going to have many pains. Umar me'od mimavet u'mikol chevde gehinam hu ra'at ha'gilgul. He says to be reincarnated is worse than Gehinam. A person thinks that, they think when a person's soul goes up, his soul is going to burn. That is painful, it's pretty bad, but even worse than that, even more painful for the soul is to have to come back. Is to have to be reincarnated in this world. Because his soul can come back as a domem. Domem means completely lifeless, nothing, a rock. A rock is called a domem because it does nothing. It just sits here. Or tzomeach, or a plant, even which can grow. Or chay medaber, he says, or a living being, one that is not able to speak like an animal, or one is able to speak like a human. And it can sometimes go through multiple reincarnations. Kambuar b'sifriya mekubalim is brought in all of the books of the Kabbalists. Va'afilu al averot shenir'in kalot v'dashu bahen rabim. And sometimes it comes even over the small sins that all people are doing and everybody around you is doing. A person could have to end up with a gilgul. Kegon, for example, hamidaber lashon hara shemitgalgel b'cheder novea.
Right away.
It starts with listen.
Ba-bam.
So, according to the Kabbalah, a person who is saying, says Lashon Hara can come back as a Gilgul Bekelev Noveach, can come as a dog.
Oh,
as a Gilgul of a dog, with Simanach. And what do you see? A hint to it in the Torah. Vayikra Lach Novach, Lach Rashi Tevod. It says, and they called it, it's a pasuk referring to. No. Novach is a name. It's a name. It's not anything good. But Novach comes from the word Noveach. It's similar to the word Noveach, which means barking. So he said, and he called it Novach, but La is Lamed He. Lamed He is Lashon Hara. So they called it Lashon Hara. Where does he end up? Noveach. He ends up being a barker. Ends up being
because he's barking. At the end of the day,
Lashon Hara
is like a bark.
So, Mistakel Ba'arayot, one who Chas V'Shalom is looking at woman or at people that he should not be looking at. He's talking about mistakel. He's not saying chas v'shalom having relations with. He's saying
just looking.
Babi Gilgul off comes back as a bird. And he created ra'ah shemizana biriya. And the name of the bird is called a ra'ah, and the ra'ah is called that because it looks right. Ra'ah. The siman ha'davar, and where do we learn that from? V'lo taturu acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem asher atem zonim achareihem. He says you end up coming back as a bird. V'arav ha'ari zichron libracha ra'a pa'am achad nefesh chasid. The great rabbi, the Arizal, reported, who was the most of the mekubalim follow his path and his understanding of the Zohar. So he saw a person shenit galgel be'ez, he came back as a goat. Right, he said a goat. He said, "You see this goat? This goat is a Gilgul. This goat was once a person." But al sheshimesh mitato leor haner. Why did he come back as a goat? Why was his punishment that he came back as a goat? Because he had relations in the light. Right? Because it says in halacha, when a husband and wife have relations, there's not supposed to be light in the room. It's supposed to be dark in the room. So he, because he had relations while there was light, while there was a candle lit in the room, he came back as an Eitz. There's all types of
Rabbi, you really topics. Today you're giving us really a little slaps right and left.
It's just peleoit.
Just a messenger.
I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. So tismar sa'arot enosh, a man's hair should stand up.
Oh, yeah. What if you don't have any hair?
And find a refuge. He'll grow hair just for it to stand up, right? And go find a refuge be'odo b'chaim while we're still alive. Chiyuto ad asher lo techshach ha'shemesh ve'lo yo'il charato, before the sun darkens, which means before a person has to return his neshama back. Ki az nafshot achil tizak b'chavaleh kimar la nefesh ayuta begivul v'domem etzameach. A person should realize it's a horrible thing if chas v'shalom a person ends up. It's a horrible thing for a person's own neshama if you have to end up coming back like that. Gam lo tarim yochomer, if a person has to come back sometimes as a non-kosher animal. Even if a person has to come. Ve'af al pi shekshu begilgul ben adam, eno zocher me'agilgul akodem. He says, and even though it comes back as a person, even if it's very often or most of the time, they don't remember who they were in that past life. Sometimes through a hypnosis or a dream, they might bring out the fact that there was a previous life, or that they might have come from somewhere. But in his conscious state, he doesn't remember that fact that he came from a previous life. Okay. No, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to continue with Gilgul. We're going to see there are some very nice lessons
Rabbi,
that a person can learn
really
from Gilgul also.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Everybody have a wonderful day. Happiest Monday.